Welcome to At the Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country and cheese country. I had the good fortune some years ago in the early aughts to do something called the Russian River Food and Wine Fest. And we did it twice in Guerneville in a meadow that turned out to be the heart of a very now fancy resort called Dawn Ranch, and two times on the water in Monterio, at the state park, at the town park, at the Monterio Beach Park. Anyway, it wasn't to do something forever. It was to do something to kind of inform the community, to do some things that hadn't been done, rather than going door to door and say, please do this, please do that. We just did it to show them. And in the meantime, we raised something like $56,000 that we gave to the Russian River Sisters to give away, because that's what you do when you care about the community. Towards the end of it, we got a grant from the Gallo family to do something in the way of awards with something in the way of food. And being a person who fell in love with cheese and who learned about cheese and learned about learning through cheese, I ran a little cheese and wine shop at the base of Knob Hill in 1842. Okay, 1976. Anyway, I said, well, why don't we do a little cheese festival? So after the event, we all got up on the 100-year-old apple orchard and we got all the cheesemakers we could find, and we had about the most wonderful little cheese festival ever. And I then went out with the rest of the grant money, and we found several other nonprofit guilds that did cheese around the country. And we took all those bylaws and put them together and handed and then filed. Oh, and Jennifer Bice from Redwood Hill got us a bank account at the goat sperm account or whatever that was. Exactly. Because you have to have a fiduciary umbrella sponsor to be able to start a nonprofit. And so we just kind of handed it to them, and all the nice cheesemakers and all the people that love them started the Artisan Cheese Guild, the California Artisan Cheese Guild, which it just feels wonderful. And here we are 18 years later, and we're celebrating the California Artisan Cheese Festival on March 22nd through 24, 2024. That's the time. And so today our guests are going to be the current president of the Artisan Cheese Guild, Sarah Sims from Lady and Larder, who has a place in Santa Monica and another one in Carmel. Not bad. She's on the line and she's going to be talking to us soon. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for having me, Clark.
Really glad that you're there. And Vivian Strauss, who is the author of, well, of a lot of things, of so many good things, but also of the California Cheese Map.
Yes.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Okay. And in a little bit, we're going to be tasting glorious cheeses from Omar Seltzer. Omar, welcome to At the Table. And oh my gosh, look at those cheeses.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, we'll talk in a moment. So let's start with you, Sarah. Tell us about the festival. What's going on? Where is it? How do we sign up? How much is it? Who do we talk to? And what's for lunch?
Well, first, Clark, I am such a fan of the two humans you have in studio with you. Omar's cheese is so special, and he is, I feel like, already reaching like secret cult status amongst California makers. He's brand new, and his cheeses are incredible. So I'm super jealous I'm not there in person to see him and taste them today. And obviously, Vivian, such a legend in our industry. I'm just thrilled to be here with you all today. The festival, so this is his 18th annual year. It's grown into a three-day festival of events, and the coolest part about it is that all of the events are ticketed a la carte. So you can come to 3 days of festival, you can join just for one day or one event. On Friday, we have the farm tours, which are all actually completely sold out at this point already. Those are incredible farm experiences. And then Saturday we have the seminars, which are these really intimate experiences with different specialties. So there's a Janet Fletcher leading the beer and cheese seminar. We're doing a new one this year that I'll be leading with Sam from the founder of Mom and Pop. She makes amazing aperitifs out of Napa, and we'll be doing kind of like vermouth style spritzes and be talking about tinned fish and cheese. And we're going to be hosting that one at Silver Penny Farm, which is Sue Conley's property. And so that day, we still have seminar tickets available for all the different seminars. And those are available a la carte through the website. And then Saturday evening, we have This is the second year for this event. It's called our Cheese Crawl. It's being held at the Barlow. And this was so much fun. It's $35 to attend. There's different cheesemakers paired with all different businesses in the Barlow in Sebastopol. That's also where Keith from WM Cofield makes his cheese, and his facility is there.
Right.
And it's just the most fun. It's super social. It's outdoor. You get to support all these different businesses, and the cheesemakers end up doing really fun dishes in collaboration with each of the businesses they're paired with.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Sarah Sims. She is the president of the California Artisan Cheese Guild, and we're talking about the California Artisan Cheese Festival, March 22nd through 24th, 2024. And it's California... What is it? ArtisanCheeseFestival.com, right?
Yep, ArtisanCheeseFestival.com. And then Sunday, which is kind of the grand tasting final day of the festival, is our big marketplace at the iconic Grace Pavilion at the Sonoma Valley Fairgrounds. And this is a big festival where there's VIP early entry if you want. We'll have over 25 cheesemakers, over 120 different cheeses you can taste. There'll be raclette, and there'll be a beer garden this year and live music. This is a family-friendly event and is kind of just the final piece of the festival weekend that we, you know, you just can't miss. You got to be there.
You got to be there, and you get to taste things, but you can also buy things and take them home, right?
Yes, that's why it's so unique. It's like we call it the marketplace because you can also purchase from all the different makers. And there's also a plethora of other local vendors, from beer makers, wine makers, mead, honey, jams, you name it. All the things that are friends with cheese. We have a bunch of those different amazing small makers there as well.
I'm interested in the tinned fish because it's one of the things that is a current trend. It's ancient. I mean, one of the things I love about the Artisan Cheese Festival, and also about cheese making as a culture, you should excuse the expression, is that invariably there are ancient practices that become so modern and fresh that whole new generations, I mean, I love the fact that we preserve these traditions, but I also love the fact that we revisit them. And Omar just kind of whispered, I discovered him. I walked up to his booth at the Sebastopol Farmers Market maybe a year ago when he was just starting out, and asked all about it and got some cheese, and it was really wonderful. And, I wanted him to get onto the radio with me, but he said, not yet. A little practice, a little time. And it's just been exploding, and he's going to be introducing a new cheese to get today that I know I have never tasted. And Vivian's already scarfed three pieces. No. I'm teasing. But it's wonderful that we discover these things. And I love the fact that, first of all, we have some longtime cheese whizzes, really is the right term. We want to reclaim that word, cheese whiz, right? And that we're talking about something that are things that are being enjoyed all over the country in different ways right now. The whole idea of things that are tinned, things that are preserved, becomes more and more important. You know, there's this affectation that Americans think you can have a life-changing meal 7 nights a week at an affordable price. That is not true. These people work hard. And I always like to say this. If you take an hour from a farmer or a cheesemaker, you're stealing sleep. There are only so many hours in the day that those wheels have to be turned, those cows have to be milked, or whatever the heck you have to do. My computer has to be rebooted. I don't know what has to be done. But really, it is true. These are incredibly hardworking people. Sarah, tell us a little bit about Lady and Larder.
Lady and Larder is a full-service cheese shop. I think one of the things that makes us unique is that we are 100% domestic. So we use zero imported product. We always say that our brand is a love letter to California. We are mostly all California producers, but we support artisan cheese across the United States. Our wine program is 85% sourced out of California. We sell bread, flowers, sandwiches in our shop down in L.A., and we make a lot of cheese boards supporting all small makers. So
I bet you do. I can't wait to go there. You know, it's very much in the tradition of Lucy's Way at the old Chelsea Market in New York City, where she had only American-made cheeses and a wheel of Parmesan. She said, one day I said to her, you know, how come you have that wheel of Parmesan? She said, I love cheese. How can you have a cheese shop without Parmesan? But that was also at a time where there were far fewer really great artisan cheeses available. That was 20, 25 years ago. And they were around, but not to the level that we've grown today. And then, of course, there was the wonderful late Ann Saxelby at the Essex Market, who was such a champion of the artisan cheesemaker, not just in America, not just in her region, but from all over the world. I can't wait to go there. Exactly where in Santa Monica and exactly where in Carmel? We like to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
In Santa Monica, we are located on Pico, right where it meets Lincoln. So just a couple minutes from the beach in Santa Monica. And then the newest location is in Carmel Valley Village. We just opened about 60 days ago, and we're right in the middle of about 25 wine tasting rooms in an incredible little spot we call the Village, which is just about 10 minutes east of Carmel by the sea where the sunshine is.
And can you walk from your Santa Monica location to the 3rd Avenue, is it 3rd Street or 3rd Avenue Farmers Market?
You could. You absolutely could. It takes us about a 2-minute drive to go down and load up, and we love that market. It's an incredible farmer's market.
It's one of those benchmarks throughout the country and certainly throughout the state of California. I'm a Valley boy originally. I was raised amid orange groves and lemon groves and all the rest of it, but the Santa Monica Farmer's Market is one of the places where we really discovered some of the greatest things to ever be coming out of the earth and out of the artisans that make these wonderful things. All right, well, listen, Sarah, thank you so much. We will see you, I hope, at the Artisan Cheese Festival. I'll be there at the Marketplace Day on Sunday. And congratulations. We're so glad that you're leading this wonderful troop of dear and very special cheese folk. What else can I call them? Folks, we will be back with Vivian and with Omar and some cheese right back here at the table. Welcome back to At the Table. I feel so calm. I feel so warm and friendly. You know why? There's cheese in the room. It's all good. I'm Clark Wolf, and we're back at the table. And we are here with Omar Seltzer, who is the cheesemaker that is just blowing it out of the water. We see him at the Sebastopol Farmers Market and other places. Welcome, Omar. The name of the company and the name of the cheeses. Tell us.
So the name of the company is Mount Eitan Cheese, and it's named after the original mountain where my family established a farm more than 50 years ago in Israel.
Wonderful.
So we kept that name.
And tell us the name of all the cheeses real quick.
Ooh, that's so we have Adi, which is a lactic aged in brine cheese. We have the Raya, which is named after my sister. This cheese has been going on for years. It's a hard cheese. We age it for more than a year now.
Wonderful.
Since we've started.
Yeah.
And now we're doing some interesting things with affinage with this cheese. We have a recent addition, which is the Mel. That's a hard cheese made out of Jersey milk.
Ooh. Most of the rest of them are goat cheese, yes?
Yes. So all the rest are goat cheese. We make a variety of Jersey milk right now.
Right.
Yeah, our main focus is goat milk.
And there's one that's covered in leaves. Tell us about that one.
This is an old story. This one is a tradition to wrap cheese in grape leaves.
Yes.
And coming to Sonoma County, we've noticed there's a lot of grapes around and a lot of wine.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, there's a rumor.
Yeah. Right. So this kind of talks to that. And we age the cheese inside grape leaves, and that allows a lot of the moisture to be trapped and the flavors to develop on later stages of the cheese as it ages.
And it imparts a flavor, but it's delicate, and it holds it together in a natural way, right?
Yes. So the idea is not to take away from the flavors, but to trap some of the flavors that the milk has originally. That goes with all the cheeses we make. So what we try to do is kind of have the original tones and original flavors of the milk, because the milk here is so rich. I try not to take out from the milk, but add and kind of figure out what the different flavors to each cheese. So each cheese has a different technique used.
You know, folks, this is a really, if you've gotten really interested in natural wines, this is natural cheese. This is the cheese where the cheesemaker is really listening to the milk and trying to really go with that and have individual flavors and components and textures. We'll get to tasting in a moment, but I want to get to the map. If you've just joined us, we're talking about cheese. We're talking about the California Artisan Cheese Festival. Go to, California Artisan Cheese Festival. No, artisancheesefestival.com. I'll get this right sometime before the festival itself. But go there and get tickets. And the thing is that it's all a la carte. You can go to this and this or that and that. And there's a lot to learn and a lot to experience. And I will be there on the Marketplace Day on Sunday, tasting and sampling and buying stuff to take home. Vivian Strauss, you have a map.
I do. It's the California Cheese Trail map, which is actually a project I started a number of years ago in order to sort of let everybody know about the amazing cheesemakers we have in California. It started out with just Sonoma and Marin, and now it's all of California.
How many cheeses? Or how many cheesemakers?
There are over 70 cheesemakers, and there are 45 that are open to the public that you can stop by.
That's a lot. 45 cheesemakers. That's, a significant amount. And the drives are beautiful, aren't they?
It's an amazing way to see California. Actually, I think next week I'm going to go and see a couple of cheesemakers I haven't met yet and see another part of California.
What gets you started in all this? I mean, you come from a very famous name in dairy, but what was your impetus in all of this?
All of this was because I was trying to find a way that I could help small farmers, actually, yeah. Take it back. And Sue Conley of Cowgirl Creamery was the one that gave me the idea to make a map. And from there, I expanded it to more, to website, to all sorts of things.
All right, we have to, if you just joined us, I'm talking to Vivian Strauss. And the truth is, we have to talk about your off-Broadway debut. I mean, tell us the story about all that. She was extended for several days, which is a big deal. This is, by the way, off-Broadway, but on Broadway, on 42nd Street, about two blocks from where I used to live when I was in Manhattan. I mean, and this is a very big deal to be able to be invited. And then you have to sell out the tickets to get another day. And that happened. Tell us.
That's true. So I did a show in the barn at our farm in California, here in West Marin. And it is a show about my mother and how she became an activist in farming.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's funny and it's sad and it's a lot of things, but I had a blast. And then I kept selling out. And so I then applied to do it in New York, and I got three performances.
That's fantastic. Well, tell us a little bit about your mother and about her activism.
My mother was an immigrant from Amsterdam. She fled Hitler and came here and said, oh my gosh, I was kicked out of one place I love. I will not be kicked out again. And she was determined to help save the farms in Marin County.
Wonderful.
And she started the first agricultural land trust in the country called the Marin Agricultural Land Trust.
It's a very important benchmark. It's the gifts that she left, and her name was?
Ellen Strauss.
Let's get this right. Google it, folks. Don't just sit there. Google it while you're eating cheese, of course. But she's one of those people in this historic community, in this region, who did some things that really made it possible for us to have the present and maybe a future, right?
I agree. I think that if she hadn't stood up, and it always takes a coalition of individuals to do things like this, but I think we would have lost our farms. And I think everything that we do, from transitioning to organic to becoming a cheesemaker, all of these things are helping to save our agricultural community.
Yeah, and it was really the impetus, and there's the connection here. When Sue Conley told me about that organization, the preservation, what's it called?
It's MALT. Right. Marin Agricultural Land Trust.
Right, exactly. Apparently, it took 9 or 10 years to get it actually officially formed. It took a really long time, which is why I said, if we're going to start an artisan cheese guild, we're going to get the template from other cheese guilds. The thing about the Marin agricultural thing is that we didn't have things like that.
There was nothing.
It had to be done from scratch. So I just thought, we cannot wait 9 years to have a piece of goat cheese. You know, that's just not going to work out, although it might be a little bit too dry. But good for grading. But the truth is that it was actually your mother's efforts that inspired the notion that we should do something on a template that did exist. We went to Vermont, and we went to Wisconsin, and I can't remember where the third one was. Maybe it was New Hampshire or Maine, where they had artisan cheese guilds. We did not reinvent the wheel. And I think that's very important when you're starting an organization. You know, there is a a certain independence that we have here out west. And the problem with that is that sometimes it ends up being a little bit too independent. People think they have to do everything themselves their way or it doesn't count. And that's just not the tradition of food and farming.
And I want to say that one of the things that's amazing about the cheese community, the small cheese community, is that everyone is connected and very supportive. And I think that was started from the beginning.
Yes, yes. When you think about the Callahans going to Italy from Bellwether Farms and having every Italian cheesemaker say, well, this is how we make it, and showing them the most private recipes and all, because they knew that if they're in the center of Italy and if they're in Northern California, they're not in competition. The dirt is different, the air is different, the cows are different. They're all in a good mood, but it's a different environment, and that sharing really just preserves everybody's ability to make wonderful food. When we come back in the next segment, we're going to let Omar take us through his glorious cheeses. We're going to do a radio tasting, which is going to be really great for us, and you can listen to if you want to. I'm really friendly about those things, but I want to remind you, the 2024 California Artisan Cheese Festival and Marketplace and seminars. Go to artisancheesefestival.com. Take a look through the whole website. Look at everything. Be sure to make a plan to be at some of it. All the tours of the farms are already sold out. This happens every time. But there are spaces in the seminars, and the marketplace can only hold so many people. I mean, it is at the fairgrounds now, but it can't have the entire universe. All right, we'll be talking cheese back here at the table. Table. I'm Clark Wolf, and I'm hungry. No. I should be hungry. Look at these cheeses. They're beautiful. They have beautiful shapes, and the shapes and the coatings and the exterior and the interior are so many different details that make up the experience of a wonderful cheese. Most of these cheeses are goat cheese, but there is some Jersey cow's milk. They will be exhibited at the Marketplace on the Sunday of the 2024 California Artisan Cheese Festival, and that's artisancheesefestival.com. I got it. And so go there and look and sign up and bring your friends and bring your family, by the way. This is very family friendly. No animals that aren't, giving milk during, no animals. But it is, and it's at the fairgrounds, so it's easy to get to. It's really, just off the road, and there it is, and plenty of parking. So, Omar, tell us about these cheeses. Give us a little walkthrough, and tell us what to taste and in what order.
Okay, great. This is a kind of a variety of the things that I'm doing, and they're constantly changing through the year. This is something that traditionally you do in artisanal cheesemaking. Because the milk changes
right
through the year.
Right.
It's not only what the animal eats, it's also how long they've been in production of milk that year since they calved or kitted. So depending on the animal, it takes a different time and the milk changes. So you want to be really observant to the changes in the milk. For instance, we have this cheese that we made. It's called Raya, and it's aged in Zinfandel pumice.
Ooh, and that's what's left after they crush.
Yes.
All right, the pumice is all the seeds and all the stuff that's left at the bottom of it. And it used to be wasted, and now it's being made into flour, it's being made into coatings, it's being made into teas. We are in a wonderful moment of, things that used to be called survival. We're trying not to waste, but also if you go to ancient cultures, you find out that people have been doing smart things for years, right?
That's right. And this cheese is the Raya cheese, the traditional Raya cheese we've been making for years. But I've noticed that the climate towards the end of the summer, when you actually do the harvest of the grapes and when you crush them about 2 weeks after, that's when the air is dry.
Yeah.
And the cheese dries very, very fast. So what we did is we just added the Zinfandel pumice, let those cheese rest there for at least 2 months.
Right.
And that's when you get the actual flavor. But the slowing, slowing process of the affinage, we call it.
Yeah.
That's what brings out a lot of flavor and a lot of characteristics to that cheese.
It's so interesting. When I was writing, many years ago, I wrote a book about American cheeses. People confuse the title for something else, but anyway. And I was visiting a cheesemaking, I was visiting an organic, intentional community, an organic farm, and there were these wonderful people who were, it was a religious order, and they were very dear, and they cared a lot. But they said, we don't understand. We had the cows, but the cows are here for the manure. So because we had the cows and the manure, we thought we should make cheese. And we make the cheese exactly the same way every day, and it comes out different. And I said to them, that's because if you want to make a living food, in order to make the same thing every day the same, you have to do something different. You have to do what Omar just said, and I cannot tell you how much it pleases me, and how much I admire the way he articulated the fact that you have to listen to the milk. You have to see what the moisture in the air is. You have to, you know, feel how the seasons are. And you learn over time that at the end of the season, this usually happens. But you have to pay attention to this season, right? Okay, so the Raya is named for your sister. And which one is she?
So that's hard cheese. You see, there are two Rayas. One is that's aged in Zinfandel grapes. And okay. The other one next to it, which is flaky, that's a year old. No, next to that, closer to you.
This one.
Under that, yeah.
This one.
Yeah. Okay. And that's a year old Raya. So you get those flavors. And then you can really, really see how those different two ways of aging. So that's the affinage process. And that's where a lot of the magic happens in the cheese making. Keep it.
And what is the milk?
It's goat milk. It's the same milk.
I have to tell you, to me, first of all, it's delicious. Thank you. Thank you so much. And second of all, and I don't know really what I mean by this, but you will explain to us, it tastes Middle Eastern. It tastes like the Holy Land to me. There is, you know, there Tuscan flavors can be kind of this milky sour. American, California, I mean, Vermont is very creamy, very, very, very creamy. California cheeses often tend to have a very fresh milk flavor. There's that experience with them. And this to me, first of all, it's just wonderful. And how old is the younger Raya?
So the Raya was made late June, early July.
Mm-hmm. And what I also love about this is that often goat cheeses have a whiter, brighter look to them because of the milk. But also, there is a certain textural thing, right? They're crumbly, yes, in a goat cheese way,
yes,
aren't they? Right?
Yes. I'm gonna stay a little for a second. What you said about the Middle Eastern flavors?
Yeah.
I'm always trying to really feel what type of characteristic that milk brings.
Right.
I think it would have been a shame. I love the fact that California, you can do whatever you want with food.
Yep.
There are no rules. It's a great thing. And you can really come and you can say, oh, I'm going to make a feta cheese with the techniques and the history of the feta, but it would never be
right.
A feta cheese.
Right.
Or I could make a Parmesan-style cheese, but the fact that the milk here is so rich,
right,
and people, and Vivian talked about it earlier, the people take so much pride in their farming,
yeah,
and what they,
yeah,
do with their milk and what they feed their animals. So for me, it was just an opportunity to kind of detect the flavors I want, use the techniques I want. And I think that's why we make such a large variety of cheese, because there is no, if I like a certain characteristic of the milk, I can build off that.
But what's interesting though, I want to add to that, I agree with everything you said and I love knowing that, and whether we can really understand or embrace or control it or not, there's this other element to cheese making. It's called you. You know what I mean? And it's your palate and it's your olfactories. You know what I mean? And where were you raised? Where did you grow?
I grew up in Israel.
Where?
In the Judea Mountains.
Okay.
On Mount Eitan.
Mount Eitan. Yeah. Exactly. So the point is that you have that in your DNA. I mean, I will always have a Southern California, all of California palate. I always will. I mean, when I was in New York and somebody said, do you want a screwdriver, the drink? And I said, is the orange juice fresh? And they said, what do you mean fresh? And I said, what do you mean? What do I mean fresh? And we squeezed an orange and added vodka and it changed their life, not mine. It changed their life because they'd never had vodka and real orange juice that was just squeezed. Now, we grow up with a palate and we're very lucky here that the palate continues to learn and the diversity of flavors are immense. We have to take a break now, but we're going to come back because The good news is there's more cheese. We'll be right back with Omar and all these wonderful cheeses right back here at the table. Ooh. Table and the table is holding good cheese. Omar Seltzer from Mount Eitan Cheese, fairly new to our community, about the last year, year and a half that you've been
here. Yes, we opened last year. So we've been open a year and 3 months.
Oh, wonderful. So, yeah. I was close. A year, year and a half. Very close. And these cheeses are beautiful. I mean, they are visually beautiful. They look natural. They don't look like they were popped out of a machine. They look like somebody made them. So we've tasted some really glorious firm cheeses. Now what's next?
So we're going to go for the lactic cheese. And lactic cheese is a technique that allows the slow acidification of the milk. So it takes almost 40 hours till you actually shape the cheese and give it the texture and characteristics that you want. This one is shaped by hand because we want the individual flavor.
And how old is it?
So I gave you two pieces to kind of have that experience of how the aging room and how the environment of which you age it have a lot of influence on the cheese. So you have a young one on your right. This one.
This one?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And what is it called?
It's called Moni. And this is also named after my brother. Oh. That's a nickname that we gave him when he was a kid.
Oh my God.
And this is a fresh one. This one's about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it wouldn't last much longer than that at my house. Oh my gosh. Absolutely wonderful. And the other one?
And the other one is a month and a half. And that's where you get a lot of the extra buildup of flavors.
And you get, and it's a little bit golden near the outside. And people, it's covered with white.
Bloomy rind,
but penicillium.
Camemberti, we call it.
Camemberti, in other words, camembert, folks. And the fact is that it usually, these come from Canada usually, right? Where do you get yours?
We source them from France because I'm familiar with some of the rinds. And it took me a long time to find one that I really like. We've experimented because the climate changes a lot of how they behave.
Yeah, yeah. And this one is, again, how old?
This one's a month and a half.
And it's a little bit firmer. It's what we often see in a lightly aged goat. And underneath the bloomy rind is a little bit darker.
Inner rind.
It's an inner rind, and it's a darker color, and you can eat it all, folks. If it smells a little like ammonia, which it never will because these sell so fast, the first thing you do is you leave it unwrapped in a cool part of the kitchen for a couple of minutes, because sometimes it's just in the wrapper. Sometimes, you know, when people get all crazy. The other thing is that if I happen to have a piece of bloomy rind cheese and there's a little bit of ammoniation in the bloomy rind, sometimes I'll cut off the outside of the rind, and the inside is absolutely fine. So, I mean, but the other best thing to do, of course, is to buy the cheese, eat the cheese. That's every time I've had your cheeses, Omar, that's exactly what has happened. They didn't last too long. Thoughts?
I am in love with these cheeses.
Right?
These are so good. There's something so different about Elmore's cheeses. They're so unique to the area. And, you know, I'm not saying the cheeses in California are all the same, but I'm telling you, these are really different.
Well, I mean, the fact is you go to a market in France or a cheese shop in France and you see cheeses that look like they might be similar, but they're very different because they're made in similar processes, but by different people in slightly different places, right?
Yes.
How would you describe the shape of that cheese?
It's a drop.
It's a drop. Ooh, I think there's an animal reference here.
I'd go, some people call it tears, like angel tears.
Yeah, it looks like a flattened Hershey's kiss in white goat, right? Is that a polite way of putting it?
Yeah, that's a polite way of
this
saying it.
This is a goat plop. They're beautiful. I like the tear. We're going to go with the tear. Or, I don't know, a wiki-up or, right? I don't know. They're beautiful. All right, and what else do we have?
So this is a fairly new addition to what we've been making. We've been partnering up with the Strauss Creamery with their milk.
Okay.
I fell in love with the Jersey cows when I was at the island of Jersey. And just seeing them here and having that flavor, I was excited to find that milk and have someone that produces that milk with such a emphasis on details.
Yeah, a real sense of quality.
It's so yellow too because of the milk, and it tastes so different from anything you would imagine when you look at it.
It's true. It's golden. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely golden, and the cows are reddish, and striking, and the butterfat is higher, and they're very dear cows, right? They tend to be very, very dear cows, and I feel like, and it's just my opinion, that they're a little smarter than some other cows.
So, I happen to like them better myself.
You do.
Yes, all right, I do. Well,
that's coming from a Strauss, folks. this is serious recommendation. A stamp of approval. I mean, Bellwether started with. Actually, with Jersey cows. They were next door. And then they started, she started with sheep that were there to cut down the grasses that were so high they couldn't get to their car. And then they saw the herd of Jerseys next door. I mean, these stories are very technical. I fell in love. This one's named after my sister. This one's named after the mountain I grew up on. This is named after my brother. This is what we're supposed to do, right? This is how cheese is supposed to be.
For me, it's the fact that you can't make the same cheese you make somewhere else. And each cheese is unique on its own. And I think this really tributes to that milk.
There's also a sweetness. Oh my gosh, I just got this big burst of I believe milk sugar, you'd have to call it. I mean, it's just absolutely delicious. And, you know, they say that a winemaker, if they're lucky, gets 18 or 20 vintages. A cheesemaker gets a vintage every day. Every single time Omar makes each of these cheeses, he's having a new vintage. There's just a little bit something special and unique. All right, more, but not much, back here at the table. Oh my gosh.
Is that amazing?
Strolling from Mount Etan. These are glorious cheeses. Omar Seltzer is with us and Vivian Strauss is with us. Omar is a cheesemaker and Vivian comes from a major dairy family and a major history. And she's given us the gift of this cheese map. First of all, don't forget artisancheesefestival.com. Sign up for the festival the 22nd through 24th of March. Vivian, how do we get the cheese map?
You go to cheesetrail.org and you can request a map. We will mail it to you. You can pick it up at various locations. I will also be at the Cheese Festival on Sunday handing out maps.
I love
and
when that happens.
You can plan your trip. You can visit everyone you want to see.
You can stay in motels and in Airstream trailers and in tents, right? All right. Anything else, Omar? We just have a couple minutes left. But if there's another cheese you'd like us to taste, we'd be willing to put ourselves through the trauma.
Okay. So I think this one is a good cheese to finish up with. This is called Adi.
Adi.
It's named after another family member, of course. And this is a goat milk aged in brine.
Yeah.
And it's like it's from the feta family in general, but I wouldn't call it feta.
It's
because
not.
It's creamier. The goat milk is creamier. It has different characteristics. You use less salt.
How old is it?
So this one is fairly young. It's about 3 weeks old.
Yeah, and it's a fresh brined goat cheese. And it is glorious. It is. I mean, if you aged it, it might get a little crumbly, but it melts in a way that's different than every other one of the cheeses we tasted, right, Vivian?
Yes, and it's spreadable, too. And it's not salty like you expect it to be. It's absolutely, and it's got a bit of a tang.
Yeah, but to spread it, you'd have to let it be down there and not in my mouth. And that's just not going to happen. That is absolutely exquisite. And one of the things that I have experienced with all of your cheeses is a very good aftertaste, a very good taste in my mouth afterwards. A lot of times with young cheesemakers, which you are not, I mean, you've been doing this for a long time before and now here, there's a kind of, sometimes there can be an off, there can be a little metallic, there's not this, you know, kind of natural finish that does come either from chemical manipulation, which we don't like, or a real sense of how nature works. And so what I really have to commend you, because every one of these cheeses has what wine people would call a brilliant finish. They really are wonderful, Omar.
Thank you.
I just want to say that it feels like you're tasting art.
Well,
That's how I feel when
Yeah, but I bet it works more like Kraft. And yes. I don't mean with a K, I mean with a C. It's a lot of hard work. You must visit Omar. You must visit Vivian. You must come to the California Artists and Cheese Festival. It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 22nd, 3rd, and 4th. Did I get that right? I think that's right. It's at the fairgrounds in Sonoma County. It's on the way to Bennett Valley. Okay, you know where that is? But off the Highway 12, you'll find it. Google it. It'll be fine. And we'll all see you there. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in. We're glad we got to meet Sarah. So we can't wait to meet her in person. We'll see you next time back here at the table.